Good morning. It's Marilyn Harris here of Hard at Work, and welcome to the podcast called Impactful Legacy to help you create your own impactful legacy in your life and your business. So welcome. Today, I have with me Matt Siegel, and we've known each other for a while now. But anyway, welcome, Matt, to the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about how did you get started doing what you're doing these days?
Yeah. So, thanks again for having me in the conversation today. So my business is management consulting. I've come up with a innovative way to get teams to work together more effectively. And I just released a book on that, my methodology. It's called Teamwork 9.0. And, I got into it because, I started out as an engineer, did that for about 10 years. And then after 10 years, my manager came to me and said, Matt, you know, we want you to move into management. And I'm like, why do you want me to move into management? I don't know anything about managing people. I only know about managing electrons. And they said, no, don't worry, you'll be fine. And that's not the way I am. I'm not fine. So I just started to go to school and read every book I could get my hands on and tried to learn as much as I could about, how to get teams to work better together. And then as things evolved, I realized that, being able to solve the challenges of getting teams to work together, those challenges it's equal, if not more important than the technical challenges that my team faced. Mm-hmm. And getting teams to work together effectively was, very enlightening to me. So that's kind of how I got into this and grew my practice, from there.
Right. Yeah. So it's always interesting. So, tell us a little bit about the Enneagram and how that plays a role into your being with the teams.
Yeah. So, as I was studying, different things, I'm learning about different leadership techniques, management techniques. And of course, you stumble across lots of different systems, Myers-Briggs, DISC, and each one of these systems, has a distinct set of pros and cons associated with it. And as an engineer, I like to go in and poke holes in it and try to break it. And I could always do that with most of the systems until I stumbled across a thing called the Enneagram. And interestingly, the more I poked at it and tried to dissect it and rebuild it, the more robust it seemed to me. It just really held up as a system. Mm-hmm. And so that's what really took me down the path of learning more about it. And, like with a lot of people, I actually started using the Enneagram with my friends and family. Mm-hmm. It was actually introduced to me at my wife's church, where the Reverend there is a big advocate of it, and so I learned it from him originally, and even to this day, he still has a wonderful group that I participate in, and it's a great community to learn from each other and explore the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how's that transferred into your team? Like, what happened to your team? Did you use that with your team at work that you were moving into management, or how did that all play out?
Yeah, I did. So as I understood it, better, I introduced it to my team. And at the time I was working at a company, it was Palm. We had recently merged with a company called Handspring, and so you had Palm and Handspring coming together as one company, and so in that environment where you're trying to essentially merge two teams, I found the Enneagram very helpful at getting people to, you know, understand themselves, understand other people, and then the interpersonal dynamics of, mm-hmm. of those relationships. So I brought it into the team on that basis, just to kind of get people more comfortable with each other's working styles. And it was really very powerful and effective at doing that.
So sure, can you share some stories of what happened when you did that at work or with your team or some other situations?
Yeah. So, you know, it was a great environment because we're all kind of learning about each other and, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm, you know, my type is I'm Enneagram type six. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now Enneagram type six is a very, we're kind of a fear aware, type. Mm-hmm. And the issue with the sixes is anxiety. Right. And so, so sixes feel anxiety regularly, and it's just kind of a part of our normal day.
Yeah.
And but not all types feel anxiety. Mm-hmm. And just to illustrate this, I was talking to one of the people on the team who was a type eight. And the type eight, you know, unfortunately, regrettably, you know, ended up going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And he tells the story that one time he came home and his wife threatened him with a knife. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that's terrible. And he says, yeah, I felt this like little thing inside of me that was like warning me, you know, not to go in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I said, oh yeah, that's anxiety. I feel that all the time. He
yeah.
says, No, you can't feel that all the time. I was like, yeah, I can. So that just illustrated the difference mm-hmm. between his type, which is an eight,
right.
and my type, which is a six. It takes a life-threatening situation for mm-hmm. an eight to feel the anxiety that the six feels all the time.
Right.
So, you know, it was, you know, we all learn from each other. And,
right.
and you know, that's just one example of how we came to do that.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So what other situations that you've had, like what are, you know, I don't want you really go into all the numbers and all that stuff.
Right.
But more or less like, so some of the other challenges you've run into with your clients and how have you been able to help them do teamwork and things?
Right. Yeah. So the powerful thing about the Enneagram, so people know about the Enneagram as a personality tool.
Right.
That's predominantly the way it's used now and understood, but actually it's really much more than that. And I came across this, you know, when I started to ask the question, you know, why is the one, the mm-hmm. two, the two? Now Enneagram, you know, uses numbers for the different types. And I was like, well, is that arbitrary? Is it, you know, could the one actually be the seven or could the three be the nine? And as I studied it more, I realized, no, there is a specific reason why the numbers are numbers and they're in that particular order. And mm-hmm. it's because the Enneagram also describes a process by which humans work together to solve problems,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And once I understood that, then I started to use the Enneagram as a problem-solving framework with mm-hmm. my team, you know, where, you know, type one is the perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
and they're the first ones to identify that, hey, that's not right. It shouldn't be that way. It should be this way. Well,
mm-hmm.
what's the first step in problem solving? It's identifying that there is a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, on and around through each of the nine steps, you have a dynamic that we know, you know, through the personality dynamic, but it's also a problem solving dynamic. And so that's really how I understood that, you know, there's much more to the Enneagram and how powerful it is. And I use that framework to help my team solve big challenging problems at work.
Right.
And then I kind of built my consulting practice on top of that.
Great. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. It's delightful because when you get people to organize themselves through this process, people tend to be very drawn to it. They get very invested in the process. They start to dedicate energy to it. And it's very a natural process that occurs, but it really results in teams, you know, forming, you know, these really strong collaborative groups that can stand up and just solve really challenging problems.
Yeah, right away, because they know how each other works together and how they like to work. And you can kind of just say, oh, okay.
Well, so I'll tell you a secret that you don't need to know your Enneagram type to use the process. And I usually don't, you know, because, you know, some people are interested in the Enneagram and they want to know it. Mm-hmm. Most people aren't, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use the framework without them actually knowing the Enneagram. It still works great.
Yeah.
And that's because the Enneagram is kind of this underlying operating system,
right?
Just kind of the way we work together. And we naturally do that regardless of whether we know it consciously or not.
Mm. But isn't it better to know what your number is?
You know, again, I let people decide whether they want to or not. You know, some people want to, some people don't, and it's fine either way.
Yeah. Yeah, I always find people are interested. Oh, I never heard of that before. I've never heard about the Enneagram. Like, I had a gal working with me on this conference, and she's doing all the graphic work, and she's sending me all this stuff. I'm like, whoa, back up. You're ahead of me. I'm just saying, I bet you she's a two. So I just...
Right.
So then I got to see what I feel like.
Yes.
But
yeah.
It was funny. But so I just told her, do you ever heard of the Enneagram? Do you know what your number is? She said, no, I never heard of that process. So she went and found out. She says, I came back. She's higher in a three than a two. But she says, I more resonates with a two. And I says, oh, I thought so, you know, just casually. And she just said, what do you mean? And I said, well, when you said that, you're sending me all these graphics, and I went, oh, way too much, you know, way too soon. Like, you know, she's now doing the planning and everything. And I'm like, whoa, I'm not.
Right.
So, so I just said to her, I says, that's why I thought you were a two. And so we had a chuckle with that.
Yes.
But she never heard of it before.
Right.
But then for me, I got to say, oh, I can start. And now I'm very new at it, of course, but now I can sometimes recognize, you know, their behavior and attune it to the Enneagram and what the number might be. And if I don't, I have a book and I look it up and I say, okay, that be it. And that's how you can respond to that person, you know, kind of thing.
Right. So, exactly.
That's why I just, you know, I'm becoming more and more of a big fan of it, just because I can see now how it improves the workplace communications, your relationships, whether you're at work or you're at home, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's been taking a long time, so.
Yeah, and you illustrate another really good point, is that, you know, certain types are drawn to certain roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, type twos love to help people. So they're drawn to roles where they can, you know, continuously help people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you'll find them in service roles, you know, nurses, teachers, you know, things like that. But it's and even in organizations, you'll find them you know, taking like operational and service roles in the company, mm-hmm. Because they are just supporting and helping other people all the time. That's what they love to do. That's what they feel comfortable with. And they tend to migrate to those roles. So that's the other fascinating thing mm-hmm. is, you know, you're seeing how certain types really can essentially thrive mm-hmm. And allow themselves to contribute, you know, all of their natural gifts mm-hmm. to the team when they're put in the right role.
Right, right. I was thinking as you were talking, I was just, I wonder if people would start to hire based on their number. We're looking for a person in this role in the company. Gee, we really need a number two, or we really need a number eight, you know?
When I was, you know, this is a long time ago, and this is when I first started studying this as a manager, and I read this book called First Break All the Rules.
Yeah.
And very, you know, popular, you know, management book. And I'm like, oh yeah, this makes sense. You know, the rule essentially says that, you know, find the right person mm-hmm. for the role.
Right.
That's it. And don't assume that, you know, anybody can be anything, mm-hmm. right? And because a lot of us are told, you know, if you try hard enough, you could do anything you want. You could be anything. And this book essentially says, no, that's the rule you got to break. That, you know, really there are people who are designed to excel at certain things.
Right.
And you know, they call it in the book, you know, being having a super highway or a bumpy country lane. you'll still get there. It will just take you a lot longer. Yeah. If you're on a super highway, you'll get there very fast.
Yeah.
So I read this book and I'm like, oh, this is great. This is before I knew about the Enneagram.
Right.
What it didn't answer though was, how do I figure out, you know, mm-hmm. who has that super highway mm-hmm. that will get you there
right.
the fastest?
Right.
And when I understood the Enneagram, that's when I understood, this is a framework for understanding everybody's superhighway.
Right.
You know, the thing that they are going to excel at.
Right.
And that way, you know, if you understand that, then, you know, you can put them in that role. They will do well. They'll be happy. And it's, you'll just have a good fit.
Yeah. Like, I guess great story. I like what you said about, you know, breaking it down and then trying to see if this would work, right?
Right.
Because I like the story you shared, and I think you said a little bit today is that, you know, you like to take things and break them apart, and if you can fit them back together, then they work. But if not, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
and you know, I mentioned I'm a type six.
Yeah.
So I'm very skeptical by nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when I encounter something like the Enneagram, I treat it with a lot of skepticism, and I have to break it down and rebuild it, or else I just lose trust in it and I don't believe it. And, right. And I know that's the process I went through,
right.
To get to where I am mm-hmm. with my understanding and my ability to use it. And yeah. I know that, you know, like other sixes who are first being introduced to it, they're going to feel that same way that I did. They're going to be very skeptical, which is why, you know, I don't try to force it on anybody.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to kind of come to it in their own way, in their own time, I think.
Yeah. Well, like you say, if they're skeptical and they're number six, then you can actually guide them easier because you're already there, right? You're already,
you know, and they're
skepticism, right?
Right. And that's a really good point because, you know, I, as a six, mm-hmm. you know, I can, you know, speak to other sixes, you know, using that same six language
right.
in a way that, you know, they'll understand and trust. It's just like, you know, you mm-hmm. as a type two, you can interact with other type twos in a way that they'll understand.
Right.
And they'll be able to embrace it more quickly. So I think there definitely is something to that, that, mm-hmm. you know, each type has an ability to speak to others of their own type in a way that they understand.
Right.
Good for rapport building too.
Right, right, yeah. Go to a networking event. What's your number?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. I'm actually in quite a few networking groups.
Yeah.
And networking groups are predominantly type 7.
Okay.
7s love to network.
Yeah.
And 7s love being around with other 7s. And
yeah.
So they're often in networking groups. But it's great, you know, 7s are a lot of fun to be around. So that's why it's fun to go to networking groups.
Yeah, maybe I should switch over to a 7. No.
Okay. Well, you definitely, when you go to a networking event, I think we all have to bring out our inner 7.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a part of being
seven.
There.
Yeah. Seven. So can you give us some examples about back to teamwork, what kind of clients you like to work with and, you know, that type of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. So, you know, using a framework like this, the Enneagram, it's really suited for a certain type of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And where I tend to focus is on organizations that are faced with a challenge that, you know, essentially requires the whole company
mm-hmm.
to step up and address,
mm-hmm.
right? A cross-functional challenge.
Right.
A challenge that, you know, is going to touch everybody in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, here's you know, we're living through a perfect example of this right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the middle of a global pandemic, right?
Right?
And, you know, people have, you know, stayed away from work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, people are sheltering in place. And, you know, so it's been very disruptive to the normal flow of work.
Right.
Now, you know, people still want to do the job and, you know, they still want to work together and they still want to accomplish the mission of the organization, whatever that is. But they have to do it in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to essentially create a new normal
right.
for that organization. Okay.
Right.
Now, you could have somebody who just comes and says, hey, no, we're going to just do it this way. Well, how much buy-in are you going to get from the organization if you just have somebody do that? Much less
mm-hmm.
than if you build a team that represents all the constituents in the organization and they collaborate together
mm-hmm.
to essentially create that new normal
mm-hmm.
and implement and roll out that new normal.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the type of challenge that is really well suited for
mm-hmm.
this methodology. Now,
mm-hmm.
so that's one example. The other examples that I've used it are, you know, for instance, a new regulation comes along. You know, in when I was at Palm, for instance, there was a regulation where you needed to understand, you know, all of the material components of every part of your product, right? What it's made out of, right? Exactly. So. What is, and you had to keep track of that and report it in order to get certified. And this was particularly if you wanted to sell your product in Europe. It's called RoHS.
Mm-hmm.
So that touches everything. It touches your supply chain. It
mm-hmm.
touches your design group. It touches your operations group. It touched everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we built a cross-functional team
mm-hmm.
And used that process and essentially address that challenge all the way through from identifying what the problem is
mm-hmm.
to rolling it out and implementing it. So that's, you know, another example of just the type of challenge that can be addressed very effectively with this framework.
Right, yeah. So tell us a little bit about your book.
Oh, yeah.
Work. Yeah.
Right. So this, you know, this is a project that was 10 years in the making. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had been, you know, doing the consulting practice for a few years with great results. And I wanted to share this idea mm-hmm. that, you know, the Enneagram can be used for much more than just a personality system, but can also mm-hmm. Be used as a very powerful problem-solving framework.
Right.
And so in 2010, 10 years ago, I committed to writing a book to, you know, share that with the world.
Right.
And, you know, but, you know, life intervenes and you're busy and all that. But, you know, 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to just have some time to sit down and really start writing it out.
Right.
And my first book, didn't know what I was getting myself into. It was a very big project, but I'm really glad that I did it. And I'm very pleased with the result. And I can tell you, it was a team effort. I intentionally had, you know, every single Enneagram type review the book in the process because I wanted to get their perspective on what I was presenting. And, you know, just, you know, in that, you know, same spirit, you know, that I'm describing, I wanted to actually use it for this project. So mm-hmm. I had a wonderful team of people that supported me through this, mm-hmm. you know, and helped me through the hard anxiety ridden times, you know, that I'm prone to as a type six. And I'm just really happy with how it all turned out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. And where can I get the book?
You can now get it on Amazon. It's mm-hmm. available in a paperback, and it's also available in an ebook Kindle version as well.
And it's called what again?
It's Teamwork 9.0.
Okay. 9.0. Why 9.0?
Oh, well, so it's just a play on the, you know, I was looking at book titles and I would always see, you know, like, you know, something 2.0. And I'm like, well, you know, the Enneagram has 9 types. So I'll just skip all the way to Teamwork 9.0. Yeah.
So we'll go all the way to the 9s.
Yes, exactly.
That's cool. That's funny. Okay, so how can they get a hold of you, Matt?
Yeah, so you can reach me at my company is Schlegel Consulting, mm-hmm. and you can find the website at www.evolutionaryteams.com, mm-hmm. And you can reach me at matt@evolutionaryteams.com. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. So you can connect with me on any of those platforms as well.
Yeah, great. Well, it's great having you on the call today, Matt. It's always fun to talk to you and funny to hear some of your great stories that you like to share with to people about your experiences. So that everybody will hear the podcast on podcasts.heartatworkonline.org, and then the audio file is also available on iTunes and 8 other channels. I don't know what the other 8 channels are, but it's on Anchor under Impactful Legacy. So you'll get the couple of links. I'll send them to you and then you'll have them. But yeah, they're available there too as well. And hopefully that people hear you and say, hey, I got to have Matt come and come work with me, right?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Because they love working with Matt.
I really appreciate the opportunity to share this with you today, and thank you so much for your support and all the great conversations that we have.
You're welcome. So anyway, take care, and my final line is always be kind to yourself and everybody else, because that's all we got. So take care, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.